الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah send His peace and His blessings and exalt the mention of the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the Day of Judgment. We continue with Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyya li Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah Sharah Muhammad bin Uthaymeen rahimahullah, Muhammad bin Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayh. And basically we have already started dealing with the verses from the Quran in which the Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah some 700 years back quoted these particular verses as a request by a person from Wasit, the area is called Wasit, and he told them that there's a lot of misunderstanding among our people about the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah regarding Allah's names and attributes. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah compiled this particular letter and he called it Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyya. And it's called Wasitiyya because of the person who posed the question. Not that it's, you know, the Aqidah of some group called Wasit. Rather, it's the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah. And he gave him, we dealt with the introduction about what are the foundation, what is the foundation that Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah based their understanding of the names and attributes of Allah on. Because we must have a foundation. It must be something that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself practiced, his companions as well, and it was followed, and they were followed by the early generations of Muslims until innovations came. And we want to go back to that early phase prior to the innovations, so we could truly understand what the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was teaching and what the companions accepted as teachings, and how the Salaf, the righteous predecessors of this Ummah, had agreed to these things until philosophy, until Muslims spread all over the world, and then people who were upon various belief systems before Islam, whether Christianity or any other belief, based on philosophy, many of them based on philosophy, when they embraced Islam, they carried some of their understandings of the concept of God and their religion and brought it into Islam. So they tried to understand the names and attributes of Allah from the Quran or the Sunnah in the light of the way they used to understand them in their philosophy and their jahiliyyah. And this is where the problems began. Because we don't use that to understand Allah's names and attributes, rather we use what the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had established. So then there was this issue, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He promised, continued to provide this ummah with individuals who always and forever clarified for the people the misunderstandings about the names and attributes. So no one will come on the Day of Judgment and say, well, I did not know any better. So alhamdulillah, that information has been available for those who seek to learn it. May Allah make us among those. So we were dealing with Surah Al-Ikhlas, and we had mentioned a couple of reasons of why it was called Al-Ikhlas. Now this time I'm going to let you go inshallah. But by next week, I'm going to start doing what our Shaykh Abu Mujahid Farid Abdullah Hafizahullah used to do to us. Is that in the beginning of every class, he would actually examine us about the previous class. So you had to study, right? You had to study what you learned. So when you come and he asks you something, you don't want to not know. It's not like he's going to hit you. It's just the feeling was very bad. Very bad. How can I describe it? Allah knows. But you did not want to not know. Because you feel bad. The Shaykh is exerting himself and he's, you know, taking time from his family coming to teach, and we're just sitting there, you know, entertainment kind of thing, where we just listen and we don't really try to learn. So that kind of guilty feeling is what used to make us really review and make sure that we know what happened in the previous class, so the next class will be ready. So I suggest you start following the same manhaj, because I'll be following his manhaj, inshallah, this methodology of questioning you next time about what we discussed today. So make sure you take notes, you memorize, you record, do whatever you need for you to be upon the you know, right information next time, inshallah. So see, at least I'm warning you. Alaykum salam. He wouldn't warn us, he will just surprise us. Tayyib. Walaykum salam, ahlan habibi. So the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi said that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said أيعجز أحدكم أن يقرأ ثلث القرآن في ليلة؟ Is one of you unable to recite a third of the Quran in one night? قالوا كيف يا رسول الله؟ They said, oh, how, O Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ قال الله أحد الله الصمد. Allah, the one who's unique, Allah the absolute, and we will see another definition for that. تعدل ثلث القرآن is equal to one third of the Quran. Now I would like to correct myself. Last week I believe I said that it is not equal to one third of the Quran in reward.
Yes.
Yes. But it turns out to be otherwise. So I retract my statement, and according to the Shaykh, it does. It's not equal to a third of the Quran in terms of you considering to have recited the whole Quran if you read the Surah Al-Ikhlas 3 times. But the reward, the Shaykh said it is. I did not further investigate that, but we take the opinion of the Shaykh as acceptable until we have an evidence to prove otherwise. And I will ask about this inshallah, just to verify that. Anyways, the Shaykh said that, فَهَذِهِ السُّورَةَ تَعْدِلُ ثُلُثُ الْقُرْآنِ فِي الْجَزَاءِ لَا فِي الْإِجْزَاءِ. Wa alaykum salam. He said this surah is equal to one third of the Quran in reward and not as izza. How am I going to translate that particular term? When we say hada yuzzi aw la yuzzi, meaning that suffices or doesn't suffice. And what is intended is basically if something, let's say there's two kinds of ghusl. There's the better one, the better ghusl, where you actually go through washing the hands first and then the private parts, and then you go through a whole wudu, complete wudu. Then you wash your body, your head 3 times, then you wash your right side, then your left side. This is one form of ghusl. The scholars say this is the al-kamil, the perfect one. There's the one that yuzzi, the one that is allowable, not as good as the first, but it does the job. That's what it does, the job, where you basically just make sure that water goes all over your body and you rinse your mouth and your nose. طيب. Now, the first is complete. The second is allowable. It does the job. So here, this is what is intended by izzah. Meaning, does it do the job of reciting the whole Quran? Does it do the job of reciting the whole Quran? No. يعني, if you read the surah 3 times, can you tell someone I did khatim? No. But reward-wise, the Shaykh said yes. And he will explain that. وَذَلِكَ كَمَا ثَبَتَ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير 10 مرات فكأنما أعتق 4 أنفس من بني إسماعيل. This is equal to the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whomever says there is no God worthy of worship but Allah alone, with no partners, to him belongs sovereignty and to him belongs all praise, and he is able to do all things 10 times, it is as if he freed 4 slaves from the children of Ismail. As if he freed 4 slaves. You know, freeing a slave is something that is praiseworthy in Islam. Now obviously, now the Shaykh will say, فَهَلْ يُزِّ ذَلِكَ عَنْ إِعْطَاكَ 4 رِقَابٍ مِّمَّنْ وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ. If someone had violated some violations in Islam, among the ways you expiate for that violation is through freeing a slave. Right? It's through freeing a slave. If someone had 4 slaves to be freed due to some violation in Islam, can we tell him, ya akhi, just read this 10 times and then you will get these 4 slaves as if you had gotten freed? No. So the reward, yes. But does it do the job of what is obligatory? No. So the reward is there, but the essence is not. This is what the Shaykh is trying to prove. نعم. وقال هذا الذكر 10 مرات. فنقول لا يجزي. We say this does not suffice. This does not do the job. أما في الجزاء فتعدل هذا. As for reward, it's equal to that. You say that 10 times, you get the reward of someone who freed 4 slaves for the sake of Allah. That's big reward if you say this particular dua 10 times. طيب. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلا يلزم من المعادلة في الجزاء المعادلة في الإجزاء. So it is not necessary that if things are equal in terms of reward, that they will be equal in terms of being sufficient to carry out a particular obligation. ولهذا لو قرأ سورة الإخلاص في الصلاة 3 مرات لم تجزئه عن قراءة الفاتحة. This is why if he was to recite Surah Al-Ikhlas 3 times in the Salah, it will not suffice him where he does not have to recite the Fatiha. Because if we say that, if you say Surah Al-Ikhlas 3 times, it's as if you read the whole Quran. Fatiha is included, so you don't have to recite the Fatiha. We say you can't. You see? So obviously, the recitation of the Surah 3 times does not do the job. Reward-wise, it does. But as far as being sufficient, or does it fulfill an obligation or an act of worship, it does not in this sense. قال العلماء ووجه كونها تعدل ثلث القرآن أن مباحث القرآن خبر عن الله وخبر عن المخلوقات وأحكام. The scholars now try to analyze why is it considered to be 1/3 of the Quran. Let's dwell into that. They said the reason why, because usually the discussions that are mentioned in the Quran are either information about Allah, or information about the creation of Allah, or rulings. It's either information about Allah, you may be quizzed about this next week inshallah, so make sure you take notes. Information about Allah, you missed that. Information about the creation of Allah, or rulings. Rulings, do this, don't do that. This is halal, this is haram, this is allowed, and what have you. Or information about Allah, names and attributes of Allah. Or the creation of Allah. What happened to the children of Adam? What happened to Iblis? What happened to, you know, the animals? Whatever, the plants, the creation of Allah, the oceans, everything is mentioned in the Quran. So the Quran is one of these 3 subject matters. That's why they consider it to be 3rd. Khabar, so, aw ahkam. فهذه ثلاثة. These are 3. The first one, khabarun an Allah. The first one, the first kind, is information about Allah. قالوا إن سورة قل هو الله أحد تتضمنه. They said that the Surah Al-Ikhlas includes that. It's really information about Allah, strictly. Are there any rulings in it? No. There's no regulations. There are no regulations in it. And it doesn't speak about the creation of Allah either. So it is strictly about Allah Jalla wa'ala. Well, the second kind, خبر عن المخلوقات كالإخبار عن الأمم السابقة والإخبار عن الحوادث الحاضرة وعن الحوادث المستقبلة. Then he's explaining more. يعني. As for the second kind, information about the creation. This is, for instance, like information or news about the previous nations, whatever happened to the previous nations, and also speaking about information or news about current events and future events, right? Like in the Quran, you deal with things that are happening at the moment that, you know, whatever believer recites the Quran, his heart trembles. This is maybe a current event. It's describing the state of a believer in this day and time. Or it may be something in the future, such as the Day of Judgment. This will happen, people will be gathered in this fashion, the people of the Hellfire will say such, the people of Jannah will say such. These are all information that will happen in the future. وَالثَّالِثْ أَحْكَامٍ. The third one is rulings or regulations. مثل أقيموا آتوا لا تشركوا وما أشبه ذلك. Like establish, you know, do and do not associate, for instance, and whatever similar to that, and from the different rulings. يعني. وهذا هو أحسن ما قيل في كونها تعدل ثلث القرآن. This is the best that has been said, يعني as a reason why it is equal to 1/3 of the Quran, because of this division of the Quran as far as subject matter in the Quran into these 3 categories, and Surah Al-Ikhlas being strictly about information about Allah. So this is why it becomes really equal to 1/3 of the Quran. طيب قوله حيث يقول قل هو الله أحد. قل الخطاب لكل من يصح خطابه. قل is say. He says this say is like addressing anyone who may be addressed. Anyone who may be addressed. There are exceptions, like the children who don't understand, who are not held accountable, like the crazy person, you know, and what have you, or maybe the deaf person, anyone who may not be given some statement, some verbal statement. I mean, of course, there are other exceptions of sign language, but we're talking about, generally speaking, that's why there's this لمن يصح خطاب, those who it's okay, who are qualified to be addressed. Maybe the Shaykh will deal with that. وسبب نزول هذه الصورة. Now, why was this chapter revealed? You know, in the Quran, as you know, it was revealed over the period of how many years? I'm asking you. How many years it took for the Quran to be?
23 years.
The Prophet Muhammad SAW received revelation when he was 40. And he passed away when he was 63. Once he passed away, no more Quran was sent down. The scholars said among the last chapters that were revealed, Surah Al-Ma'idah. Some of them say the last verse that was revealed is, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, and have taqwa of a day in which you will return back to Allah. There's a difference of opinion among the scholars, nonetheless, but that is in Surah Al-Imran, that particular verse. Al-Imran or Baqarah, Allahu A'lam. Al-Muhim, that basically, so 23 years is how long. So there was reason for revelation. And this is among the, of course, from the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is beneficial for the Ummah, where every time they went through a particular phase, the Quran was revealed accordingly, rather than just being dropped as a whole, where it may not be applicable at times. For example, the prohibition of alcohol, it took many years before that was finalized. It went through stages where they were first reminded that, you know, it's not really the greatest thing. Then they were said, do not approach the salah when you are still drunk. You don't know what you're saying until you know what you're saying. Then finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no more. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ? Are you going to desist? Are you going to stop? It became haram, they say, towards the end of the prophethood of the Prophet Muhammad SAW, before he died. This was in after what? The Sahaba had done what already? But because it was not easy for them to let go of something that they had been very much used to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want to burden them. So Allah was in His wisdom, He allowed this to take a while until their iman was complete, their understanding was complete, their submission was in the ultimate sense. So when the ruling came, everybody was ready. So much so that when this verse revealed, brothers had the cup of wine in their hand, they did not even finish it. Those who had in their mouth, they spit it out. And they went to all the jars of wine they had, and they broke them until they said that the streets in Medina were flowing with wine. Khalas, because they had reached a point where there was no playing around. Allah said, case closed. In the beginning, had this been revealed in the beginning, maybe most people will not obey. So the scholars use this particular incident for us involved in da'wah to understand something similar to that. You must be easy with the people. You know, you must take it gradually. If you tell someone from the beginning, they may not handle it. So, you know, we go through the stages with wisdom. We start slowly but surely until the person's iman is complete. Then, you know, for some people, as soon as they embrace Islam, so are you circumcised, akhi? Oh man, you must get circumcised. They say, what? Oh man, he's one day old in Islam. The last thing you want to tell him is about him, you know, whatever. So, you know, you take it easy on the brother. You know, wait till his iman reaches a point and he knows the information. He'll go by himself to the hospital. Tell him, oh no, you're disobeying Allah. How are you going to become a Muslim? You're not even. Allah says you're supposed to blah, blah, blah. You give him a hard time. He will pretend to be a Muslim in front of you as soon as he goes out. He said, I'm out of this religion, man. He calls his parents and says, I'm back to Christianity. I'm sorry. I think I made the wrong decision. He won't tell you. He'll become a hypocrite. You see, he'll see you say, hey, wa alaykum salam. But he left the religion because he has a false understanding. Now you dropped a bomb on him, as they say. We shouldn't use this example as Muslims in this day and time, dropped a bomb, but I seem to forget all the time. Anyways, because some people... the idea is that, you know, we must be... take it easy. The same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually dealt with the Muslims and who are the Sahaba until they reach a point of maturity in Iman. Likewise, we must be the same with the new Muslims. It doesn't mean...
They told that the alcohol was forbidden in the last period of the very close to Prophet Muhammad
SAW.
So by this time all the major Sahabas, even they was used to drink the alcohol.
They were still drinking alcohol. Some of them, when the verse was revealed that that you should not approach it while you'd be in the state of being drunk, then they realized that the only time feasible was between Fajr and Dhuhr, or between Isha and Fajr. Yani it was only this time. Otherwise the Salah time was pretty much close. Many of them had abandoned it from that point. You know, getting an indication that it is not really the greatest thing. Some of them continued to drink up until the end. Yani I don't know, I don't have list of names of who was still drinking, who had left it alone.
Yeah.
But definitely they were still drinking until the end. That the hadith says that they spilled it. You know, some of them were about to drink and and through Yashir.
The Prophet never used to drink.
No, another, I don't know. Allahu alam.
And the close companions also, I don't think.
Allahu alam. I think I heard that Umar used to drink.
Umar
may have, because it's not haram. So we cannot say anything. You know, if Allah did not make it haram and up until that point, then there's no blame against anyone. You know,
yeah.
There was no blame, so it's pointless. يعني. We're not going to say that only the khulafa didn't and everybody else was no good. You know, whomever was drinking was something that was halal during that time, yeah. Until it became prohibited. Anyways, we don't want to go off the subject and dwell into that.
There are prophets like Prophet Moses, Jesus. It was allowed.
Allahu alam. Allahu alam. Allahu alam. I don't know of anything. But the asl is that we keep the questions till the end. And then we will deal with the thing, yeah. As to not Zakum la khiran. Don't misunderstand me. But that will be better, inshallah, just to leave him at the end. For those who may listen to this in the future, who say, "Hey, man, continue the dars, man. What are you talking about? It's, I don't want to deal with alcohol." Anywho, but we will deal with that, inshallah, shortly. Tayyib. So, anyways, so we said there are reasons for revelation. There are reasons why verses were revealed. Very often, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ will be questioned a particular question, and then the fatwa comes from Allah. Many times, قُل. This is why the قُل came. Say. And they ask you about sometimes وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. They ask you about the soul. Say the soul is by the command of you, my Lord. وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And you've been given of knowledge only a little. المهم أن المشركين قالوا للرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام صِفْ لَنَا رَبَّك فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ هَذِهِ السُّورَةَ. Among the reasons the Shaykh said that the mushrikeen asked the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ to describe his Lord, to describe Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed this particular chapter. وقيل, and it was said, بل اليهود, it was the Jews, الذين زعموا أن الله خلق من كذا ومن كذا, who those who claimed that Allah Azza wa Jal was made of such substances and these substances. مما يقولون من المواد فأنزل الله هذه السورة, or you know, whatever material. So Allah revealed this surah as a refutation for them. وَسَوَاءٌ صَحَّ السَّبَبْ أَمْ لَمْ يَصِحْ فَعَلَيْنَا إِذَا سُئِلْنَا أَيِّ سُؤَالَ عَنِ اللَّهِ أَنْ نَقُولَ اللَّهُ أَحَدَ اللَّهُ صَمَدْ. Regardless of whether this particular يعني, reason of revelation is correct or not, about the Jews, you know, making that claim, he says, whatever, if someone was to ask us to about Allah, then he will say to them, اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ صَمَدْ. Obviously, for those involved in da'wah, this is what we begin with. This is, you must begin with tawheed. You must begin with tawheed. Sometimes, you know, someone has a misconception about Islam, and you go on for hours trying to, you know, deal with the polygyny or you know, polygamy or polygyny, which we'll, you know, you'll hear about soon, inshallah, and other things. And this person doesn't even know what is the concept of God in Islam, you know. And then they agree with you. Then when you tell them, well, there's one guy, say, oh no, I'm sorry, I must have three gods. I must have the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Say, well, you gotta deal with the Tawheed. And you know, Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, when he was imprisoned, and the two companions of the prison came to him, and they asked him the fatwa to interpret the dreams, what did he do? He told them, don't worry, I will tell you about the dream later. No food will come to you, except that I would have informed you about the interpretation of the dream before the dream comes. Why? I left the nation of people who don't believe in Allah, and in the hereafter they're disbelievers, and I followed the ways of my forefathers, Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. It was not for any one of us to ascribe any partners with Allah. This is from the bounty of Allah upon us and the people, but most people do not show appreciation. All people, all companions are imprisoned. أَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارِ. Are a number of gods better, or Allah the one, the absolute, the irresistible? So he gave him da'wah to tawheed. Says, you worship nothing except that names that you and your forefathers have named. Allah did not reveal any authority pertaining to them. Then he said, ask for you such and such and such. So the scholars say in the tafsir of Sa'di rahimahullah, he said, this is the asl, that when someone has a question, you deal with things in order of importance, you prioritize. And nothing is more important than tawheed. So when someone asks you about Allah, and when you want to deal with Islam, you begin with tawheed. After you explain tawheed, if they have misconceptions, then you can deal with the misconceptions if you have the ability to do so. But we must at least know tawheed. Some people know how to answer every misconception, but if you ask him where Allah is, he doesn't know. So that's not what we want also. You know, we want to follow the right path. Tayyib. قوله قل هو الله أحد. His statement say it is Allah the one who is unique in His oneness. As we mentioned, we must add that. هو ضمير. هو is a pronoun. وأين مرجعه؟ قيل إن مرجعه المسؤول عنه أو المسؤول عنه. كان يقول الذي سألتم عنه الله. The pronoun is in reference to what? Because you know a pronoun is a name or a word that takes the place of a noun. So instead of saying, you know, Jamil went to the school, he was happy. Instead of saying Jamil went to the school, Jamil was happy. So instead of that repetition of the noun, you use the pronoun he. So here, huwa, close to he actually, is what? Is a pronoun for which noun? Is the question. The Sheikh said, it is to something, it's basically to an anonymous question, which is the one you're asking about. The noun is, of course the Arabic is not like the English, the one you're asking about, which is Allah. So it is Allah. وَقِيلَ هُوَ ضَمِيرُ الشَّأْنِ Allah مُبْتَدَى ثَانِ. And it was said it's another kind of pronoun. And لَفْظُ الْجَلَالَ is a مُبْتَدَى, which is old grammar. I'm not going to deal with that, because I cannot, you know, you cannot even translate it into English. وَأَحَدٌ خَبَرٌ مُبْتَدَى. أَحَد is the information about the مُبْتَدَى, which is مُبْتَدَى comes from يَبْدَى, that which initiates. And this is very grammatical and what have you. وخبر مبتدا الثاني وعلى الوجه الأول تكون هو مبتدا الله خبر المبتدا أحد خبر ثاني. Worry not about that. Allah لفظ الجلالة. Now you must know that sometimes, or it is recommended that instead of saying Allah, you say لفظ الجلالة, in order to avoid misunderstanding, particularly when you're dealing with grammar. You don't want to say, for example, Allah is a noun. You see what I'm saying? Alaykum salam. You don't want to say that Allah is a noun because of the issue with that. You know? Because if someone may understand from you that Allah is a noun. And are we dealing with the word? You see? So that's why in Arabic you use lafdul jalala, which is the term of honor. يعني in reference to Allah. The lafd Allah is referred to as lafdul jalala. لفظ الجلالة. Get familiar with that, inshallah. In case you ever hear it, that's what it's spoken about. In order not to use the word Allah every here and there at places where it may not be befitting. Okay, that's the intent behind that. طيب. المهم هو العلم على ذات الله. It is a noun, or you know, that particular term is basically a proper noun dealing that is referring to the essence of Allah عز وجل. Allah Himself. والمختص بالله عز وجل. It is specific for Allah. لا يتسمى به غيره. No one can have this name. You know, from the time of Adam until the day of judgment, no one will ever be called Allah. This is something that is strictly for Allah Jalla Jalalu. وكل ما يأتي بعده من أسماء الله فهو تابع له إلا نادرا. And usually, any other names that follow are a follow-up to that name, except in other rare cases. But the أصل, even when you read the Quran, الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. It doesn't say Al-Hay La ilaha illa huwa Allahu al-Qayyum. You see what I'm saying? So it's always usually except in some rare cases in the Quran, it is Lafzul Jalala being mentioned first, and then all the others follow as a description to that particular word. طيب طيب ممتاز. ومعنى Allah, the meaning of the word Lafzul Jalala Allah, Al-Ilah meaning the God. It's really Al-Ilah, but it became Allah. وَإِلَهٌ بِمَعْنَى مَأْلُوهٌ. And إِلَه is that which is مَأْلُوهٌ, يعني that which is deified, that which is venerated, that which is magnified, that which is worshipped. مَأْلُوهٌ, that's what إِلَه comes from. أي مَعْبُود meaning worship. لَكِنْ حُذِفَتِ الْهَمْزَةِ تَخْفِيفًا لِكَثْرَةِ الْإِسْتِعْمَالِ. But the Hamza was omitted due to this word being used abundantly. And this is something among the Arabs and many different languages, even in the English language. When you use some words so much, you kind of make an abbreviation for them or a shortcut. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to go, like you say, come on man. Or, you know, nothing. You know, and you mean nothing. You know, nothing. Do you hear the G? You don't hear the G. In reality, it's nothing. Nothing. But because it is used so often, that the people emit the G naturally. So you say, nothing, I'm not doing anything. You see, anything, not anything. Why? Because the people, whenever they use some words often, they tend to simplify them. Okay, if it has some difficulty, you simplify them. So likewise, كما في الناس, the word ناس أصلها الأناس. Originally the word is الأناس. الأناس, الأناس, الأناس. But وكما في خيرا وكما في هذا خير من هذا وأصله أخير من هذا. The same way you say هذا خير من هذا, this is better than that. The originally it's supposed to be هذا أخير من هذا. These are all cases or words where there was a hamza, but it was omitted for simplicity, to simplify things, because we want simplicity. A. ولكن لكثرة الاستعمال حذفت الهمزة فالله عز وجل أحد. So because of the repetition of that or usage of that word, the hamza was omitted. So instead of saying الإله, it became Allah. طيب. Very important, because when you translate that to English, it's the God. يعني the only God, as opposed to God. Because if someone says that, you know, what does Allah means God? Incorrect. Because God means ilah. God in English, in Arabic means ilah, not Allah. The God, al-ilah, means Allah. And when you say the God, meaning you have a particular one in mind, not ultimately, because people's concept of God may differ. So the God, your intent is the only true God, which is Allah Azza wa Jal, Jalla Jalalu. Ahadun. So Allah, فالله عز وجل أحد. Allah عز وجل is أحد, not واحد. And this is the point that we mentioned last week. واحد means one. أحد is not one. واحد after واحد is اثنان. As for أحد, it is unique, which is the uniqueness in the oneness. The uniqueness in the oneness. And that's the point in the word أحد versus واحد. Because واحد means one, and we said one does not suffice, because after one comes two, or they may be one more than one in different rooms. You still one. When you are unique, case closed. That's the word unique. There's nothing after. You're unique. You cannot have another thing that is as unique as you. It will be unique in its own way. So that's the benefit of saying قل هو الله أحد. Say it is Allah, the one who's unique, or the one who's the one who's unique in his oneness. However you want to explain it in English, we must make that particular addition though.
One and one only, they call it. One and one only.
No, it's still the same thing. Because one only can come with two only and three only. It's not, يعني yes, but no. Unique is a much stronger word than only.
Yeah.
So for example, I say, only I am going there. Then you say, only I am going too. But now it's no longer only and only, we're both. But you may say that. When you say unique, it's not the same. Allahu A'lam. Anyways, yani I've heard it being used as unique, so we just stick to that, inshallah. But, نعم. لا تأتي إلا في النفي غالبا أو في الإثبات في أيام الأسبوع. Very often it comes in a form of negation, or it comes in a form of affirmation, like in the days of the week. You call al-ahad al-ithnain, you say Sunday, Monday, al-ahad. Eh. لكن تأتي في الإثبات موصوفا بها الرب عز وجل. But it comes, it's very often used in negation, but at times it comes in affirmation, such as the days of the week, and when it comes as a description for Allah عز وجل. When it comes as a description, it is affirming or negating? I'm asking you. Is it affirming or negating?
Negating, there is no other word.
No, it's affirming. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَد.
Only over.
Hey, it's affirming. It's affirming, not negating. Negating is لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. لَمْ يَلِدْ. لَمْ يُولَدْ. طيب. I confused you, huh? معلش. لِأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَحَد. Because Allah عز وجل is one who's unique. أي متوحد فيما يختص به في ذاته وأسمائه وصفاته وأفعاله. Meaning Allah Azza wa Jal is unique in that which is relevant to His essence and His names and His attributes and His actions. أحد لا ثاني له ولا نظير له ولا ند له. He is one who is unique, where He does not have a second. There is no second to Him. There is no equal to Him. There is nothing similar to Him. Okay. So this is the uniqueness. Allah is unique in His essence. There's nothing like Allah. Allah's hayat, the hayat of Allah, the life of Allah is not like that of His creation. the actions of Allah are ultimate and they're based on wisdom. We may have actions that are definitely not ultimate and then they may be based on error. Allah's names and Allah's attributes, hearing, seeing, we have them in the most deficient sense. Allah has them in the most ultimate sense. So you find that in everything that is relevant to Allah, He is unique in that oneness. He is one and unique that nothing that He created resembles Him in any way, shape or form. Not in the actions, not in the names, not in the attributes and not in the essence. And this is what the Deen of Islam is built upon. That is the first foundation. When you say the foundation that you believe أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, you must know, we must know all this. Because that is the understanding of the shahada. Before we go on to the salah and the zakah. Because if we don't know this, then our salah is going to be busted. It's going to be corrupt. Our zakah is going to be corrupt. Our fasting may be corrupt if we don't have the right understanding of Allah. If you think about Allah something that doesn't befit His majesty, then this is more dangerous than many other sins that the people commit. Because Allah made it among the things that are most prohibited is to speak about Allah without knowledge. And to believe about Allah that which He did not say about Himself. So this is why we must learn aqeedah. We must know what's going on. Because this was the Quran revealed, one third of it dealing with these issues. So if you don't know that, then we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Now, قَوْلُهُ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. The statement, اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. Again, one of the translation is absolute. Absolute. But we will get a very accurate definition by the Shaykh rahimahullah. هَذِهِ جُمْلَةٌ مُسْتَأْنَفَةٌ. This is a new initiated sentence. After saying قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, that's established. Now there's a new sentence. A new sentence, اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. That's why it has Dhamma also. اللَّهُ which is مُبْتَدَى. اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ. Hey. بعد أن ذكر الأحدية ذكر الصمدية. After Allah mentioned the uniqueness of His oneness, He mentioned الصمدية, the absolute يعني quality of Allah. وأتى بها بجملة معرفة في طرفيها لإفادة الحصر أي الله وحده الصمد. And it was used in a particular context in the language to indicate exclusivity. Exclusivity meaning Allah is the only one who is absolute in this sense. فما معنى الصمد? What does الصمد mean? قيل إن الصمد هو الكامل. They said الصمد meaning the one who is perfect. The one who is perfect. في علمه وفي قدرته وفي حكمته وفي عزته في سؤدده في كل صفاته. He is the one who is perfect in his knowledge. And the one who is perfect in his ability. And the one who is perfect in his wisdom. And the one who is perfect in his might and power. And the one who is perfect in all of his names and attributes. That's one meaning of صمد. The one who is perfect in his knowledge, ability, wisdom, and might and power. Okay, I may question you about these next week. You better be ready, inshallah.
Everything in one word.
Yes, that's the benefit of the Arabic language. It was rich, very, very rich. Well, one word may contain numbers of meanings, depending on the context. So, from the wisdom of Allah, that the final revelation will be in the Arabic language, preserved in this fashion, because no other language may contain so many meanings in one word. We may not find this in any other language on earth, no matter how eloquent the language is or the speakers of that language.
That's why he wrote the Quran in Arabic.
Naam, this is among the reasons. يعني الحمد لله على على يعني كل ما تمن تفضل علينا به. Allah is merciful to us. وقيل, another definition for الصمد, الذي لا جوف له, that which has no internal, no interior, nothing inside. Okay, anything that is hollow on the inside is considered also, the word samad also includes that. يعني لا أمعاء ولا بطن, meaning no intestines and no belly, stomach and that stuff. ولهذا قيل الملائكة صمد. That's why it was said that the angels are صمد. لأنهم ليس لهم أجواف. They have no interior. They have nothing inside. لا يأكلون ولا يشربون. They do not eat, nor do they drink. هذا المعنى روي عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. This particular definition was narrated or attributed to Ibn Abbas. Needless to say, who Ibn Abbas is, the nephew of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, the alim of the tafsir, the one who the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم make dua for him, oh Allah, give him understanding of tafsir. give him the ability to interpret the Quran and give him understanding of the deen. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu used to bring him, although he was young, he would bring him with him to the gatherings of the mashayikh. So much so that they criticized Umar radiallahu anhu, why you keep bringing this kid with you to these gatherings of the mashayikh, you know, white beards and the senior scholars among the companions, he's bringing Ibn Abbas. They said, why do you keep bringing this brother with you, man? Then he examined them through Ibn Abbas. He said, what do you say about the surah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. What do you say about the surah? If you see, if the victory of Allah Azza wa Jal comes and the opening of the land and the, you know, whatever, the Muslims are spread, and you see the people entering into the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal in groups, then praise, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ, then glorify the praise of your Lord and seek His forgiveness, verily He is the one who accepts the repentance. He said, what do you say about this verse? Then they interpreted according to their pain meaning, that you know, when you see many Muslims, many people coming into Islam, do tasbih, do istighfar. Ibn Abbas, he said, Umar asked them, رضي الله عنهم, to the senior scholars, they said, this is what we know. He asked Ibn Abbas, he said, this was the na'i, how do you say that in English? No. You know when someone the news that they put in the newspaper that someone died.
Obituary.
Yes, there you go. That's the one. He said this is basically the approach of the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is informing him that you're about to pass away. And Umar said, "Wallahi, I don't know of any tafsir about that surah except that which Ibn Abbas mentioned." So he proved to them the virtue of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, young. But he understood the tafsir of the surah, whereas the senior scholars did not know this particular meaning. That you know, once khalas, the deen is complete, your mission is over. Your mission is over, and the people are entering into the deen, your struggle is over, your jihad is over. Khalas, it's time to return to your Lord, end your life with istighfar and glorifying Allah. So this was the tafsir of Ibn Abbas. Anyway, so Ibn Abbas is not your average mufassir. He is among the first of the mufassireen, those who knew the book of Allah from cover to cover. And many like Mujahid and other of the Tabi'een had studied the interpretation of the Quran from Ibn Abbas. So much so that one of them said, I went through the whole Quran with Ibn Abbas more than once, asking him every verse in the Quran. And he had a tafsir for that. So not your average brother. And we will. This was narrated from Ibn Abbas, and it does not negate the first meaning. And we will deal with the rest, inshallah, in the following week. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.